Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us, each and all, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and of knowledge and understanding of you so we will know you better. Please enlighten the eyes of our hearts so we will know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and that incomparably great power for us who believe. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning we're going to discuss the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew in his gospel uses the term the kingdom of heaven, but the rest of the New Testament uses the term kingdom of God. Now, both mean the same thing. There's no difference at all. So they're both referring to exactly the same thing. But whose kingdom is it? Is it Jesus's? After all, Jesus is our king, isn't he? Now, the Bible calls Jesus the King of the Jews. It also tells us he's King of kings and Lord of lords. But let's see what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven. As we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, we hear Jesus say, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come." So Jesus is telling us that it's the Father's kingdom here. Also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, here's the passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is telling us, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll wear or where you'll live or whatnot. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So once again, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is the Father's kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is God the Father's, but he has sent us his only begotten Son and entrusted this kingdom to him for the advancement of his purpose. Now, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth in order to do his Father's will. So where is this kingdom? Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. So we are the kingdom of God, the body of believers, and that means the entire body of believers worldwide, form the kingdom of God. And so what's our role in this kingdom? It's certainly not for us to sit around like bumps in a log singing gospel songs until we're called home to be with the Lord. That's old school thought. We are saved by the Father's grace through Jesus Christ for a purpose. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So notice that it's the Father who draws us toward Jesus. Jesus also said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now you see the reverse here. So no one can be called directly to the Father. The Father does not draw us to him directly. He draws us to Jesus, gives us over to Jesus so that we can learn from Jesus and through Jesus be reconciled with the Father. But the Bible also tells us why we were saved. And here we get a picture of our role in the kingdom of heaven. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you see, we're saved by grace, but we're saved in order to do good works for the Father in his kingdom. Nothing that we did before we were saved earned our salvation. It was a free gift from by the grace of God. But God saved us by his grace in order to do those works which he had prepared for us for the advancement of his kingdom. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, it was Jesus who gave to the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Okay, so that's why we have pastors, to prepare us for works of service and build us up to maturity in Christ Jesus. Now, in past generations, I'm talking about, you know, grandparents and great-grandparents' generations, the pastor or minister was expected to do everything. You know, visit the faithful, convert the unsaved, and what have you, while the congregation simply attended church on Sundays. But that would be like having two football teams all lined up on the benches on either side of the field, watching their coaches out there playing football by themselves. That's not the way it works. Coaches train their teams and send them out into the field to play ball. In the same way, Jesus gave us pastors to exhort us. Now, the word exhort comes from a Greek word which has many different shades of meaning. It can mean to encourage, to guide, train, teach, and yes, even admonish us when we're a little slow on the uptake. In other words, to encore challenge us. And to build us up until we reach unity in the faith and become mature in Christ so that we can get out there into the mission field and do those works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So, don't you think that Pastor Dan has done an admirable job of encore challenging us over the years? Amen. Exactly. North Grenville Community Church is already doing many works of service for the community. Just to name a few, there's the Philibag Program, the Debt Freedom Center, the Beth Donovan Hospice Ministry. And there's individuals in the congregation who've gone to Central America, Haiti, Africa, and elsewhere on short-term missions. Also, there's ministries within the church. There's the music ministry, the audiovisual ministry. There's the nursery and children's and teens ministries. And there's the kitchen ministries. I'm not purposely leaving anybody out here. I'm just naming a few. Okay, and all of these would be sorely missed if it weren't for the dedicated volunteers who do these works of service. And these works involve, to a great extent, committing our time to helping those who are less fortunate than we are. So with Pastor Dan gone, it's not as though the engine on our bus has disappeared and we're just slowly drifting to a stop. No, we just carry on doing those works because we know how to do them.
Amen.
And we do them because we have been built up to maturity in the faith and we're capable of carrying on for a while without a pastor. So, does that mean that we don't need another pastor? Can we do without one? Well, no, not really, because we need that leadership and guidance to keep us on track. So we eagerly await the our next pastor. So how can we help out in this regard? Okay, we can pray that God will send us the pastor that he has chosen for us, and we can also pray for the, it used to be called the search committee when I was involved in one, but now it's the ministry center has given it a much more official term. It's called the Pastoral Leadership Task Force. Okay? Much more official. And we can pray for the members of this task force that they that God will give them the wisdom to recognize the pastor, that pastor that God has for us, when they meet him or her. So, as far as the pastor leading us is concerned, how does that song go? Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the pastor going on before? No, it's with the cross of Jesus going on before. We are following Jesus as we march on, participating with him in the advancement of the Father's kingdom. Thank you.